Court Press.
I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble. Yeah! Yeah!
Here's Michael at the foul line.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Full Court Press, all things NBA. I'm your host, Wesley. With me, as always, Rabbit and the Bagman. Good morning. Good morning. Hello. How are you guys?
What up?
Yeah.
Hey, Wesley.
You guys are all here. That's good. Everyone's on the call. Excellent. Excellent. Good morning.
Present.
Good afternoon. Good night.
There it is. That thing that he says.
Yeah, you love
thing.
It. You love it. We are at the very end of November. So we were supposed to do a podcast last week, but my computer crashed. So sorry about that, everybody. today we are going to be discussing a few different things, including time management and players resting. How do you say that? Player resting? I don't know if
resting
that's right.
Players.
Resting players.
Yeah, resting.
Going to break down a couple teams, including the Clips, Houston, Chicago, Atlanta, and the Raptors. We got a douche of the week. But I just want to know really quickly, did anyone watch the Lakers-OKC game yesterday and just watch Swaggy P shoot every three known to man?
Lakers are keeping it 500. It's pretty wild.
I know.
Well, Swaggy's like a bit of a hero. He's like a darling of the NBA this season, which you would have seen that coming after the clusterfuck that was the Lakers season last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I feel like it's not that big a deal. Like, he hasn't done much. His numbers haven't been great.
No.
He's hit a clutch shot here and there, and he gets some mad cred for it. He's a bit of a cult hero. I don't know
He could barely get on the court last season. That's why it's shocking. It just shows that Byron Scott has no fucking clue what he's on about.
Yeah, well, apparently they were going to cut him. They were, like, real close to waving him. And Walton told him, like, I'm going to give you, like, a chance, you know, but you need to play defense. And he's stepped up his D and he's staying on the court.
That's so crazy.
It's pretty cool. Walton with the golden touch.
Just a fair warning, I am going to bring up Kobe Bryant twice, including during this podcast, including right now. But at the end, I was watching it and, like, all the injured players were having a blast. Everyone's laughing. He's doing the ice in the veins as a joke. Sweet Lou's just joking around. They're all high-fiving each other. And I was just picturing, like, Kobe Bryant, like, watching the game on mute with his beard, cracking his knuckles, like, this is fucking bullshit. And just everyone having fun and him just, like, not laughing, not thinking any of it's good or fun at all.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, I don't know where I'm going with that.
That's good.
So the first thing, not that we give a shit what Stephen A. Smith ever says, but and he was asked about LeBron and the Cavs resting LeBron on some away games, and he believes that he should play all road games and they should rest him at home. And I just wanted to know, Bag, what do you think about something like that?
I'm kind of shocked that I don't completely disagree with Stephen A. Smith, probably the first time ever in my life. But if you sort of read between the lines of what he said, he wasn't sort of asking LeBron to change or asking the Cavs to change their method. It was sort of what he was hoping for, that, you know, every, like, away fan that gets to go and see the Cavs get to watch LeBron because you're paying a premium and all that sort of stuff, which is 100% true. But, and it wasn't a direct dig at him as well, which was good. But I agree with it, but it doesn't really make any sense in terms of resting.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think they're gonna look at games and say, well, this is the one because it's an away game, we can't rest him. That's not the case. Like, you're gonna do it on back to backs. You're gonna rest him on nights where you have a better chance of winning without him against teams that don't have as good of a chance of topping you over.
What's the stat with them without LeBron? It's not great.
Fuck no, it's not great.
Yeah, isn't the most important thing protecting your home?
You're too good for your home?
Yeah, to me it smells a little bit like, you know, money and revenue and ticket holders. And, like, it seems like if Popovich was asked that question, he would just, like, you know, spit on the mic and walk away. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, I don't think anything's going to stand in the way of a good reason to rest him. They'll rest him when they want to rest him. It's proven to work.
He's kind of getting at the fact that when teams go on the road, they only come to town once a year, and it's for the fans to see the best players, that kind of thing. Mm. Is that, like, kind of an angle he's getting at, do you think?
Yeah.
Where, like, the home fans see him, you know, 40 games a year. So rest those games and let the fans. But like, that's a purist point of view and like not really taking into account all the issues. Like, he should know better than that. It's a pretty bit of a dead shit statement if you ask me.
Yeah.
It's like, well, there's too many games in the NBA then. Mm. Like, we know that. That's what it comes back down to. If there were 66 games, you probably wouldn't see LeBron or Popovich or these guys having to rest or resting players on the road, especially like the 4 and 5 nights bullshit and all that stuff. Like, it's a league issue, and it's just Stephen A. Smith running his mouth like he always does and saying outrageous, stupid shit for shock value. And, you know, it's like a non-issue.
All right, so I got a big question for you guys. We'll start with Bag and then go to Rabbit. Is DeMar DeRozan going to win the scoring title this year?
Well, my initial reaction, just based on the fact that he's with another sort of dominant scorer in Lowry, is no. And he's already dropped to – he's back up to second, but he was down to third the other day.
It's still early days.
But, no, it's not impossible because, you know, KD and Westbrook played together, and KD won the scoring title a whole bunch of times. So it's not impossible, even though DeRozan's not – KD, that's for sure. But if you look at who the Raptors have played, they played the Cavs twice, Warriors and Clippers, and they also had that gnarly back-to-back where they had the Cavs and the Warriors. He's hitting crazy tough shots. So yeah. It's not outrageous, but I still say no. I think, you know, Westbrook and Harden are going to have a hard time staying at the top of the ladder.
And what about you, Rabbit?
He's averaging 31 points a game.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's sustainable for a guy like him, especially because he doesn't take hardly any threes. So all his shots are mid-range pull-ups, getting to the bucket and getting to the free throw line, which is insane to be averaging 31 points in this league doing that. It's nuts. But I think that will slow down. He averaged like 24, 25 last season, so it's a big jump to, like, you know, averaging another like 6-7 points a game. But he's doing it pretty well. He's got the green light. Some of those shots are so fucking tough. I just don't know how he can sustain that. Like, they're not always going to go in, but man, he's been impressive for sure. And no one's really talking about it that much. How crazy is that? Like, he could win the scoring title, but like, no one would even look at him. He probably wouldn't even crack the top five for MVP.
Yeah.
At this stage of the game.
He's great because he doesn't do much else besides putting the ball in the bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's probably going to go down as like Toronto's best ever scoring title and, you know, most consecutive 30-plus point games. He had a real shocker against Washington the other day. But I was just curious.
Vince Carter would have something to say about that.
Well, I know. He's the OG. I get it. It's probably getting close to somebody taking the reins from there because he didn't really stay in Toronto long enough to really...
Well, he got hated.
Yeah.
They hated him when he left. It's brutal. Well, and every time he went back there, he dropped like 40. So good.
But when he was playing, it was that old school ISO ball, and they really didn't have a whole bunch else going on scoring-wise after T-Mac left.
They had T-Mac for, like, was that only a season? Maybe two seasons?
Yeah, he came out of high school, right? So he wasn't doing a whole lot.
So if it's not DeRozan, who's the hot tip?
I like Harden. Yeah,
I think Westbrook. The volume of shots that he's taking is just unbelievable. Now Harden seems to be I guess they're both sharing the ball as much as each other, but they seem to have a lot more weapons on Houston than they do in OKC.
Too many assists with both those guys, though. Way too many assists.
Too many assists? Is that a thing?
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about scoring title, not MVP.
No. Yeah, I agree. We saw what happened last night against the Lakers. Westbrook, when the going got tough, he's just like, I'm taking every single shot.
Hey, before we get into the other teams, have you watched a lot of Golden State games? Anybody?
Yeah, I've been watching most of them.
Yeah, you've watched most of them, Bag, honestly?
Most of them.
Not as much as last year. I'm trying to like wean myself. I watched so much Warriors last year, so I'm trying not to fall into that trap again.
I've only watched their opening game. I don't know why I'm not watching any games.
Do you think it's become a thing where everyone's like, oh, I know the Warriors are going to be that good and everyone's talking about the Warriors, so I'm not going to do that. And now like a good chunk of people are like kind of sleeping on, not sleeping on them, but they're kind of flying under the radar, especially with how well the Clippers are playing. But you know what it is? I think it was that first loss to San Antonio where people all sort of went, oh, yeah, okay, they can lose games, and it took all that pressure off them, like going on a mad streak or being the whole circus thing. Like, don't you think it's been pretty mellow in Golden State? Like with the way Durant slotted in, they're just getting wins, they're just playing well, everyone's doing their thing, and they're just kind of just cruising along. Don't forget they're 12-2, like they're just one game behind the Clippers.
Well, totally, and they're destroying teams by 20 plus points. You know, you watch a game, and by the time you get to like halfway through the third, you're like, oh, fuck this. You just turn it over. I just want to see something close. I want to see something, you know, exciting.
It's still pretty compelling, though. Like, Durant's slotted in amazingly. He's playing just like he did in OKC. Like, he's just a pure scorer wherever he plays. Who's better than Draymond for Defensive Player of the Year right now?
Just Kawhi Leonard. Just Kawhi Leonard every year.
Yeah, well, maybe. I reckon Draymond's been playing better defensively. Anyway, you know what I mean? They've just been under the radar, and it's kind of good.
But does he have to play – is he playing better defensively because he's literally, you know, like the last option on offense now?
No, he's – well, he's not the last option. He's like he'd be like three or four. But he's just doing – he just seems comfortable. Everyone seems super comfortable. Like, Clay's got it together now. You'd be stoked for fantasy, right?
Fucking
he's got it together a lot more.
Jesus.
Yeah. Like, they're all hitting their stride, and it's fucking scary. They're just rolling teams.
I don't want to sound like a hater. I don't know why. I just haven't really watched a game.
You sound 100% like a hater.
I know. I flick it over. I don't know. It just felt like they were the little engine that could, that was like, you know, overachieving this amazing feat and like doing something that nobody else could do. And now that
maybe like 3 years ago.
Yeah, I know, but
they won. They would have the most wins ever in a season last year.
I know. And they still felt like, they always still felt like an underdog to me. I think it's just because they're...
They won the title the year before.
I know. I know. Yeah. I know. I know all these things.
But isn't it cool that like there's all these other stories we're all into and there's like a lot of subplots and, you know, and everyone was worried at the start of the season that it would be boring as fuck, and now we barely even talking about the Warriors.
Yeah, I'm sorry to even bring
delicious
up the Warriors.
Irony.
It wasn't on the notes, and I apologize.
Fine,
I was just
we should
curious.
Talk about
them. I was just curious if
we should talk about them all the time.
All right, I'll start watching some Warriors games starting
thank you.
March. All right, so the first team on the list that we're going to talk about is the Houston Rockets. But let's start first with a quote that you wanted to share, Bag, about that D'Antoni said, I believe.
Yeah, I just think it's pretty crazy the mindset they've got going on there, basically. If you're not Harden, you're one of the underlings. And he said, you have to be a star in your role. And here your role is when James gets the ball to you, shoot it, then run back and play hard as heck. Mm. And I just thought that was crazy considering their personnel as well. They've had some guys in Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson that aren't known for doing anything defensively. And they're sort of being asked to be, very secondary plays. Just catch it, shoot it, run back, play D and go crazy. And it's working.
I really feel like they're going to be a top four team this year in the West. I'm just saying that. I don't know how you feel about that, Rabbit or Bag, but that's where I'm at. Harden's got 28.6 points per game, over 12.5 assists. Don't you wish you were James Harden? I mean, how fun would that be? And also, Clint Capella is, you know, slotted in that pick and roll, easy dunks, and getting blocks. For a guy who's only been in the league for a couple of years, he's pretty fantastic.
They're super entertaining to watch. We did, you know, they are doing what we kind of said they do, which is score a lot, you know, free-flowing offense. Defense is super suspect. It's kind of fun to watch them play. They, you know, they take nearly half of their shots on offensive threes. They're on point to set a record for most threes attempted in a season, more so than the Warriors. And that's just purely Harden taking whatever three he wants or penetrating, kicking with Ryan Anderson, Ariza, Gordon. And they just got green lights, like bomb away. But I don't know if that's like a key to their success or not, because their D's pretty awful. But they're scoring 120, 125 points a game.
Well, the D's not as bad as you expect it to be. You know, when you watch them, you like passing the eye test, everyone's playing hard and trying to work into the scheme. They're just not super talented defensive players. But at the moment, and they've just got Beverly back, mind you, they have the 11th best defense. Yeah, so they're only a hair outside of having a top 10 D. And if they can maintain that even if they can stay with the pack defensively, they're going to have a hard time getting beat for sure.
Totally. Like, they only needed an average defense because of their offense is so good. But I don't think that's sustainable at all. Although Beverly looked good against your Blazers the other night, Bag.
So everyone looks fucking good against the Blazers at the moment.
Even the Knicks.
Even the New York Knicks.
Yeah, ouch.
Just getting back to Houston, if I was them, I think I'd be gunning so hard for Chris Bosh. They made a play at him a couple of seasons ago, and I just feel like now, you know, considering they're fairly capped out, if they could get someone of his caliber, and then their crunch time five would be him, Harden, Ariza, Gordon, and Beverly, that would be unbelievable. You're swapping out Capella, who can't shoot free throws, for someone who can stretch all the way to the three-point line. Every single person could hit a three. Every single person could hit like a mid-range shot. Everything would be spaced out. Harden would be getting to the free throw line and be so fucking lethal.
Yeah, but I don't think he's coming back, dude.
Yeah, insurance is now kicking in to pay over half of Chris's Bosch's salary. That's nasty. It's not. I don't think he's coming back anytime soon.
No, I don't think he is.
Everyone needs Chris Bosh.
But it's a sticky situation for the NBA because they can't necessarily, like, what if Houston's doctors say, oh, we think Bosh is fine, like, you know, blood thinners, all that. No, our doctors reckon he's fine. Then the NBA have to go, like, Miami's doctors said this, Houston's doctors said that. We can't have this contrast of medical opinion. So I dare say the NBA step in and back the Heat. They can't have any risk with this stuff. Imagine Bosh like dying on the floor or dying after playing another season. They can't risk it.
No, that would dramatize. It's not the WWF. I mean, you can't have people dying in the middle of the court. But also, Bag, he has to go back to Toronto. That's their missing link. Okay, so when he is healthy and it finally happens, he's going to Toronto and he's coming back home.
But he's from Texas.
Yeah, I know.
He could grow cycle. Those like shitty dreads back as well. Some of the little shitty dreads.
Anyone seen James Harden's signature shoes? The fucking ugliest things I've ever seen since Kyrie Irving.
Are they worse than Steph's?
The dad shoes.
Yeah.
I don't think he actually wears those, though. Those are just his casual walking around shoes, aren't they?
Well, why? They're horrible. They should never be made.
It's amazing how many ballers use low tops. You know, the high tops are almost completely dead, I reckon.
I didn't mind those low tops. You remember Kobe's low tops? I thought they were pretty cool.
Two Kobe references. We're going for three, a trifecta by
the
end of this podcast.
Sorry, everyone.
No, yeah, don't be.
Sorry, I haven't said dick. I'm not saying his name. In 2016-17, yeah. It's my word is my bond.
Do you think Houston could be a top four team this year?
You're looking at up and down the West, and the team that I thought was going to get it done was Utah, but they can't sort of stay healthy.
No.
We were saying on the famed pod that we lost last week that, you know, even a week or so ago that we thought they were better than OKC. I think they're better than LA. They're probably better than the Blazers right now. Memphis is making a bit of a push. I wouldn't be 100% shocked. I think they'll definitely be like plumb in the middle of the playoffs for sure.
I think they're going to be better than the Grizzlies as well, to be honest.
Yeah, I can see that. I think the Grizz will probably fall off a little bit. Well, they've got the same record. They're 9-5 at the moment and in the 4-5 seed. So it's exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
And they basically haven't had Parsons this whole time.
And let's face it, he's a piece of shit. He's not coming back. He's just going to injure something else. Ride that 44 mil. Or how much did he get paid? He got paid a ridiculous amount of money.
It's more than that.
He got max. He got 90 million or something.
Gross.
Yeah, he hasn't done shit. And
I know.
He's made almost $200 million.
Currently ranked 324th or something. You know, like, it's just an absolute joke. And on my fantasy team doing nothing. All right, let's move on to the Clippers. Do you guys remember them? They're from Los Angeles area. They used to be originally from San Diego. Currently first place. How long can they remain first is my question until Golden State take the reins. Any thoughts off the bat? We got Chris Paul shooting better than he ever has in his entire career. We talked about it in the preseason. They got this, you know, win at any cost attitude. They're the kind of bad boys of the NBA. But would we say it's mostly about the bench this year for them that's the game changer, Bag, or just they're unified? DeAndre Jordan looks like a man. Talk to me.
The bench is definitely improved, and Rabbit will tell you all about Mo Spates, I'm sure. but for me, it's the synergy between their main four or five guys in the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're sort of crushing teams off the bat, and there's a super sense of urgency this year because CP3 and Griffin and JJ Redick are all available to be free agents at the end of the year. And I think you can see that all this bullshit about they're going to blow the team up and this is the year that's been running with them for the last 3 years is probably more true now than it ever has been, because of the fact that these guys are going to get money thrown at them left, right, and center at the end of the year, and they're really, their loyalty is really going to be tested, but it hasn't really been up until this point. But the continuity factor is fucking massive. You know, they've been playing with each other forever. They all know where their roles. They all know where to play. Blake and DeAndre have that dope high-low thing going on. CP3's a fucking maniac. We all know that. And this is the year. They're not fucking around. I love it. And I was saying it since the start of the year, and no one was really interested. But now everyone's talking about, are they the second best team in the West?
Well, at the moment, they're first. And we'll figure it out. When do they play Golden State? That's really all that matters, isn't it?
It feels like the Warriors have the Clippers, you know, the last couple of seasons. But, you know, this Clippers team looks a lot more engaged. You'd seen, like, in previous years, like, Griffin and DeAndre looked a little bit more, like, a bit looser on the court and smiling and laughing a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. But it seems like CP's mentality might have rubbed off on him a little bit. Like, when Griffin's, like, healthy and rested and, you know, engaged, he's a fucking beast. Like, he's not Durant level, but he's close. Like, he's a guy who was second in MVP voting a few seasons ago. Like, he's right up there in the top echelon of the NBA. And they need that for them to actually succeed. They need Pete Griffin. He's got to hit with that pick and roll. He plays with Chris Paul. He's hitting that mid-range jumper where at times last season, you know, when he was injured or tired, you can tell he wasn't hitting that as often. They need, you know, they got the second best offense in the league and the second best defense. Like, that's saying something pretty massive. I don't know if they can sustain that, but like, CP's being his little bitch self all the time. DeAndre's doing his thing. And even like, Bamute's been pretty epic on defense. And that's going to be the primary like Durant stopper. They need him to be engaged. They need to compensate for his offense a lot. So Griffin and Paul have to play at a higher level. Redick's been good. It's been really impressive, but like we keep saying, 14 games in, 15 games in.
They dusted Paul Pierce off the other day. He had a little nice spin around, and then they quickly subbed him off.
But like, you know, barring injury, et cetera, and stuff, and it's all down to the playoffs, right? And everyone wants that Clippers-Warriors playoff series. And, you know, we know the Clippers can beat the Spurs from previous seasons. Okay, six or seven games maybe, but can they take the Warriors in seven games? I mean, I know we don't have to talk about it just yet, but you look at those matchups over seven games, Bamute on KD, what are you going to do, double that and leave guys open? You're going to switch? You can't switch that often against those guys. Like, I think it's great and it's, like, really encouraging and they can be contender, but I need a bit more substance to take them seriously as a title contender.
If you look at that matchup on the opposite side as well, the things that the Clippers do well go against what Golden State have trouble dealing with. So they have two massive guys. They really don't have too much of an answer for them inside.
Rebounding. Well, Draymond can guard Griffin. That's pretty straight up. And you got to try and swarm DeAndre and you play the hack game.
Griffin offers a little bit more of a test than most people because he's just as physical as Draymond is, and he's not going to be afraid to try and draw fouls and rebounding. You know, rebounding is going to be super massive.
Yeah, like Pete Griffin, like ripping, is trouble, 100%. He could give the Warriors a ton of trouble. I just think over seven games, they're going to get you how many weapons they have, that's all.
Rabbit, when you're talking about over seven games, there's a lot of physicality, and that's when I think the bench comes into play the most, which is where I think we're going to see the true test of Golden State. And, you know, all we were talking about is how the Clippers bench is so much better. And what's going to happen when, you know, KD is a little bit tired and Thompson and they're starting four, you know, amazing players need to rest, you know, in those seven games. That's when you might see the Clippers make moments where their bench, you know, outscores them by, you know, 15.
Sure, and we saw it against OKC last year when they really had the Warriors' number over those games and they just beat them up with Cantor and Ibaka, you know?
Yeah.
I think they can totally take games off them, but the Warriors aren't going to have less than two of those four off the court at any one time. So the Clippers have to be, like, peak defense 48 minutes, they bench everyone because you're going to have Clay and Draymond on, or you can have KD with Steph, or any mix of those. And it's going to be a nightmare for them to defend on every possession. And I don't know if they can sustain it and be switched on. Anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves. The playoffs are so far away.
Totally.
But you know, that's the end game, really. That's the end game for the Clippers. They got to get past the Warriors.
But it's good. That harks back to what you were saying about everyone thought it was going to be a one-horse race the whole season. And already we're already talking about the Clippers being a decent matchup. And it's great they're doing it in a different way from the rest of the league. It's not all pace and space. It's pick and roll. It's bruising inside.
The other thing I like, if I can just say, and we'll wrap up on the Clippers, is I like that Raymond Felton's another option for the point guard, not just Austin Rivers. A guy who's a bit older, you know, he can distribute, but he can shoot.
Yeah, he's more of a facilitator.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just it's a nice little backup just in case, you know, for $980,000. That's if you want Raymond Felton on your Div 1 team, $980,000. Okay, Brandon Bass. You want Brandon Bass on your Premier League? $980,000. There's four players under $1 million on this team. It's amazing. Okay, well, that's a little bit on the West. Outside of Cleveland, we're just going to talk about a couple teams that are enjoyable to watch, starting with Chicago. Before we get into it, though, how do you feel about the East this year compared to last year? Do you think it's better or worse? Bag.
I think it's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Cleveland are at the top. There's a whole cluster of teams that are sort of itching to get into the top half of the playoffs. And then it falls off a cliff, really. You know, like the Knicks and Pacers are in the playoffs at the moment, and all the teams under them don't look so good. The ones that we thought were going to do some damage, like Detroit and even Washington, have not really lived up to anywhere near the expectation, and even Milwaukee. Mm. So I think it's basically the same. It's just that Chicago looked to be a hair better at the moment.
Has anyone watched any Chicago Bulls games in depth at all? I have. Just because I think they're a fun team to watch, and I haven't said that in probably 5 years. How long has it been since Carlos Boozer moved there? Utah. That's really.
You said you're different.
That's honestly. That's. I mean, they haven't really been an enjoyable team to watch. Maybe since D Rose had the MVP year, but they're usually like that real gritty. Games will be like 78-81.
Well, it's a Thibodeau era.
Yeah,
Thibodeau era. It wasn't really, you know, enthralling offense. But
I like to call it the Boozer era.
Yeah, we had a defensive culture there, and it wasn't that attractive. But they were successful. Maybe not as successful as they'd wanted to be. Yeah, they did. They remember they sucked last year. They didn't even make the playoffs last year. They didn't.
No, and we all kind of picked them to not make the playoffs this year as well. But the way things are going, I mean, they can. Jimmy Butler continues to play as well as he's playing. Rondo really has fit in well. I'm just the one thing I just wanted to say about Chicago is I'm extremely impressed how well everyone's gelled together so quickly. I wasn't expecting that.
Well, it's a lot of D Wade, man.
Yeah,
D Wade has brought a ton of obviously leadership and experience there, but he's really embraced Jimmy Butler, and they have some real chemistry together. I don't think Rondo's in that conversation. Like, there's no big three there. It's like it's Jimmy and Wade, and Rondo's like, yeah, cool. You know, I'll throw some assists your way, guys. But he's definitely like, I don't think he's necessary there at all. I think as the season goes on, they're going to find that they're going to need Rondo less and less.
Yeah.
I don't think he's I think he does more harm than good, to be honest, on that team.
I think you run him with the second unit, because I think that's the one thing Rondo does do well is get all the other players besides those two involved, you know, and making them feel a part of the offense.
Maybe years ago, but he doesn't play defense anymore. No. He's not really contributing much on offense. You can't have him on the court to shoot free throws at the end of the game. He's not bringing much to the table anymore, except like that stupid ball fake he does, you know.
Love the ball fake. He does some. Yeah. He's a great passer. You got Jimmy Butler averaging almost 26 points a game. I don't know. How do you feel about, like, Bag? How do you feel about, you know, Lopez looks good, but they're not playing Mirotić as much, thank God. My big problem for them is the forward position. You got the French rookie coming off the bench and Taj Gibson. That's it.
You got McBuckets. What's your beef with McBuckets?
He just isn't playing. Where is he?
He's injured.
Yeah,
he's coming back.
Yeah, they said that last year as well, and the year before that. You know, Valentine hasn't done shit. I hate Bobby Portis as a player. Last year was like, oh, Bobby Portis, he's going to be awesome. I actually watched them versus the Clips, and Spates just tore him apart. Got him to foul him, shooting probably three times as much threes in his face, and then Bobby Portis hit 1-3 and be like, "Ah, I'm the man! Ah, ah!" And then Spates just walks up and shoots another three, and then gets a foul. I reckon he's a hoax.
He's 21, and he was sort of a late first round lottery guy, so I don't think you really expect him to go out there and be Blake Griffin or anything like that. No. I don't think it's the forward spots they have problems with. They got a nice little end of game lineup where they run Mirotić and Gibson together, and they're spacing it up, and that's creating a lot of opportunities for the guards to go get into the paint and get easier looks. Mm. I'm with Rabbit. I think it's the point guard thing that's causing them trouble. Like the numbers with Rondo off the floor are a lot better than with him on it.
Mm.
So maybe you're right. Maybe it's going to be a situation where Carter Williams comes back and he's the guy, or it's a bit of a timeshare, and at least they have like a bit of a stronger defensive identity with him on the floor. And that would be the worst thing that could possibly happen.
What's wrong with like this closing lineup of Wade and Butler, McBuckets, Lopez, and Gibson or Mirotić? Probably Mirotić.
I like
it. Or probably get rid of Lopez and play Gibson, Mirotić, McBuckets, Butler, Wade. It's a good lineup. That's a good closing lineup. There's shooting there. There's penetration there. There's boards there. You know, and there's no room for Rondo in that at all.
Mm.
And I think you'll find that like they'll go to that lineup a lot more once McBuckets comes back.
Okay, so everyone hates Rondo still.
It's a cultural thing Wade's done. He's come in and he's been super vocal. He's been, you can hear him in huddles, even when he's not playing. Like when Butler dropped 40, Wade wasn't playing, but he was on the bench. He was animated. He was in his ear the whole game, telling him, you know, giving him advice and stuff. Like Wade's buying in, and everyone seems to be, it's like, it happens, you know, those special players, they buy in and everyone jumps in with them, and it makes people better. It's really cool to see, like, everyone's saying, oh, Wade's, you know, like, they can't shoot. Wade's like, okay, well, I'm going to shoot threes now. And he's hitting threes, like, he's 38%, averaging 3.5 a game. Everyone sees that, and they're like, wow, Wade's invested, I'm going to get invested. And it just lifts the morale, lifts the team, and I think that's what we're seeing. Like, I don't think it's any one thing. I just think they're getting more out of each player because they're all engaged.
I don't think you could say another thing about Chicago. Perfectly said, Rabbit. Let's move on to Atlanta, which was looking great, and then they've lost a few. Dwight Howard obviously coming over. I don't know how you guys feel. I don't know if you're Howard haters or not, but I like seeing him, you know, playing well. I want him to be good.
No, I was going to say, dare we say it, it's actually Howard has been, you know, a really good fit. I don't know if he's been the difference, but,
no,
you know, he's averaging 15 and 12. Like, he's not going to score as much as Horford, but, man, he's getting rebounds. That pick and roll with Schroeder's not bad. Like, he's been a pretty good asset for them. They've got Millsap doing his thing. Cortland's bombing away. All right, but they've lost three in a row. Yeah. And I'm not sure. They've got a big West trip coming up where they play on the road, like four or five, six games. The Warriors are in there, a few other teams, Spurs. So we'll have to see what comes of this.
Yeah, you got Dennis Schroeder as their, you know, main point guard. This is the first time he's had this responsibility taken away from Jeff Teague. So are they going to be better than last year, Bag, you think?
It's kind of a completely different team, so it's hard to gauge. But
totally,
there are warning signs for sure. You know, Korver's 35.
Mm.
I think you're sort of finally starting to see those years of super consistent play from him, even though he had a bit of a down year last year, sort of come to an end. You see him hit 5 threes one night, and he'll sort of go 0-for-8 the next night. And it seems to be becoming more of a theme with him. So as the season wears on, that might become a bit of an issue. And yeah, like you said, Schroeder, I've never really been like a massive Schroeder guy. He's not in that sort of pass-first mode that you'd want your starting point guard to be, especially when you have good targets like Howard and Millsap and Korver on the wings.
Well, and you got Paul Millsap as their leading point scorer.
Millsap's just doing his thing. He's still their most valuable player, I think.
Yeah.
By far, but they're not going to trade him any like this season, I don't think. But, they, you know, it's kind of like what you were talking about before, like with the sort of Houston vibe, like Memphis vibe, like 4-5. It's probably where they're going to end up in the East because the East isn't that stacked, obviously. So I can see them just winning enough games, you know, to get to the fourth spot maybe. I think this team has, like, a really low ceiling in a sense. And if anyone falls, like, Schroeder gets injured or, you know, they can fall, it can go downhill very quick.
But yeah, and you got to give cred to Buds and Buds' system, because you look at they chop and change plays. You swap out Teague and you swap out Al Horford with two completely different guys defensively, and they just maintain a top defense every year, no matter who's playing. That'll hold them in good stead through the rest of the season. So
I definitely enjoy watching them this year, though. I don't really normally like watching Atlanta games personally, so.
You didn't like watching them 2 years ago when they won 60 games and they were zipping the ball around, shooting threes, and that was peak Atlanta for me.
I don't think Dwight is being a bitch as much as he was. You know, he's not whinging as much and he's not crying. He's pretty...
He's being ruthless, dude.
Yeah, ruthless is the word.
All right, let's move on to the Raptors, Bag's favorite team. What do we think? Eastern Conference Finals rematch?
If he was stopping the season right now... They're probably, I think they're probably playing the second best ball in the East. Dude, they, as we said before, like the schedule's been crazy. They've won tough games. They won at OKC and they won at the Hornets. They lost that heartbreaker against Sacramento. And they're starting guys like Pascal Siakam, some fucking jungle rookie, and Norman Powell. Damari Carroll's been out of the lineup and they've been in every single game. They were in that game against Cleveland, and then the next night they played the Warriors. They were in that as well. They just don't fucking disappear at any point.
My only thing is how much they play Lowry and DeRozan. How many minutes they play. They play like Lowry plays almost 40 minutes a game. It's a fucking lot. If he gets injured and that's your 40 minutes a game, who do you got coming off the bench to replace him?
Doesn't that sort of ring true for, like, you could say the same thing about Chicago and Jimmy Butler, or Charlotte and Kemba Walker, or Boston with Isaiah Thomas, you know? Like, if any of their main guys, their main facilitators, go down.
But like you were saying, the ceiling seems, you know, pretty high for these guys, though, you know? They're still kind of growing as players and becoming their own team. Valanciunas is, you know, he's not getting worse, he's getting better. And they just need to put some better players around these guys. That's the only thing that stood out for me was 38 minutes a game, averaging DeRozan's, you know, 37 minutes a game in the early part of the season. They just need Chris Bosh. Hey, can I hit you guys with a douche of the week?
Sure.
Do you mind? Do you mind? So instead of just one, I've got three.
Is it Kobe?
I got three Kobe's in here. So I just wanted you guys to choose. I just want you to choose which one that you feel is the douche, because I couldn't decide. The other night, Dennis Rodman was pulled over for a hit and run and giving false information and had no license. It would be hilarious if you pulled over Dennis Rodman, because no one else looks or sounds like Dennis Rodman. He's got shit all in his mouth, and he's sitting there giving you bullshit lies about what happened, drunk. Or Kobe Bryant's little speech about how he was they used to double-team a guy with a max contract, and then there'd be a supporting player who doesn't have a max contract, and they'd purposely double-team the non-max contract guy just to get in his head. I reckon it's the douchiest shit I've ever heard.
I'm not even sure if it's true. Yeah, sorry, keep going.
And the last one is the controversial Raptors Sacramento Kings game, where the sideline clock manager did not activate the clock when Cousins tipped the ball, causing a good pass to Terrence Ross, who hit a game winner, which was later waved off because the ref analyzed it and everyone's come out and said he's made the right decision, which is controversial in itself. Maybe we can talk about it after this. So I just want to know, Bag, you got Dennis Rodman, you got Kobe Bryant, you got clock management issues. Who's your douche of the week?
Well, Dennis Rodman, that's far from the worst thing he's ever done. So I don't know if that's it. You know, he's in bed with North Korea. I don't think we should really be worried about him in the DUI situation. We'll get into the end of the game thing. So I guess by default, it'd have to be that other guy whose name I'm not saying ever.
Sweet. Excellent.
Yeah, but it is douchey. It's super douchey because It's like he's this really, like, you've looked into it that much and you've gone and told like Gasol and Lamarck and Odom and Fisher, and you're like, all right, guys, like, we're subconsciously going to, like, we're not going to tell him, but we're going to double team him. And then, you know, when he's not hitting shots and stuff, he's going to be angry, and he's going to be angry at the top dog on that team. So that's the way we'll beat them. Like, really? Really, yeah. Dude? Like, I can't see that happening. I can see you saying, like, to the guy, like, the second tier guy on the team, like, bro, why has that guy got a better contract than you? You ain't got nothing. You're dog shit compared to him. He's money. He's the man. You're not the man. Like, that's what you're going to say. It's just standard trash talk. That's why I think it's bullshit. I just think he's, like, overthinking it, and it's like, hey, look at this angle no one's come up with before. That's because I'm the Mamba. You know, that's Mamba mentality. Fuck off.
Yeah. So douche. Yeah. Such a douche. Yep. So, Bag, do you want to give me your opinions on that shot clock violation? We had a little bit of banter on the FCP Facebook page. Do you want to break it down? Give us a little...
Break it down.
What's what?
I'll tell you what I found the most illuminating was that I didn't know that the refs actually start the clock. They've got these little... It is like a small computer belt pack about the size of a pack of cigarettes that's connected to their clock. And when the clock is meant to start, all three refs push a button on a belt pack, and the signal registered is the first one that trips the clock. So it's like the timekeeper is the fourth option. So it's not actually up to them. And you see, like, I watched the replay again this morning, and you can see that the clock had already started before Terrence Ross had caught the ball. So he catches the ball with about 2.2 seconds left. So there's just the referee's reaction time was a touch slow. So you can imagine that in between the time that it hit DeMarcus Cousins' fingers and got to Terrence Ross, already 0.2 seconds was off the clock. So I don't think they've done a bad job at all.
Okay.
But when they counted it back, you know, it wasn't enough time. But how ready can you be to touch a little thing on your belt by the time someone's, like, touching an inbounds pass?
Mm. Yeah, it was a deflection. It was a bit of a bad call. You could see the coach of the Raptors furious. As a player, though, I mean, if you got the ball, looked at the clock, saw you had time, took the shot, you did everything you could to make the right play, and then you get kind of penalized for it because the ref didn't do what he was supposed to do. And then now in the modern age, we can review it and look after it. But if there was no review, you'd probably call it good, and it'd be all good. So it's a bit of a hard situation, I reckon.
Like, I was blown away by the fact that they can sort of guesstimate, okay, we think – you know, 0.5, we were behind 0.5, maybe 0.4 seconds after the tip. So if we subtract that off what the time should have been, he didn't have enough time. Like, you know, that is just guessing, and that's kind of suspect. And I totally understand why Toronto would be pissed.
Because what they can do is, like, they overlay a digital clock, and they can pinpoint the moment where DeMarcus Cousins touches the ball, right? And so,
So they
start the clock at 2.4 seconds then, and then it counts down to the point where Terrence Ross lets go of the ball, and that is allegedly 2.5 seconds, so not enough time.
Well, if Terrence Ross got the ball, you know, knowing that he had less time, then he's going to treat the situation differently and get the shot off faster. You know, so it is a tough pill to swallow for Toronto, and they have every right to be pissed off about it.
Yeah, it's like, it's a weird little thing because they've acknowledged that they've missed the tip. They missed the DeMarcus Cousins tip. So that's reviewable. But, for example, Nick Young's game winner against OKC last night where he traveled, they missed that call as well, yet that's not reviewable because they don't want to review absolutely every single thing. So what's more egregious? You know, the travel's way more egregious. You know,
way more egregious.
They're in plain sight. He took four steps.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a weird misconnect because you've got two situations there where you feel like the right outcome for the Raptors game was that it went to OT and they should just acknowledge that we missed it. We missed DeMarcus Cousins tipping.
Yeah. Hey, let's just finish up with a little bit. If there's one thing Bag and I like more than basketball, it's definitely movies. So we're going to wrap up with some movie stuff. Delhi, the movie? Is this real? Is Delhi it over making? Is this real?
Yeah.
Who knows about this?
Real thing.
What's going on?
There's a production company that's signed on with Delhi to do the story of Delhi's life leading up to the 2015-16 finals. Wow. Chronic that rise from Delhi to champion.
Available at all good Hillsong outlets.
Yeah. I just think it's hilarious that the pinnacle is going to be the 2015-16 finals where a guy came in and replaced him, and this time they won. You know, in the finals, he played 7 minutes a game and shot 26%, averaged 2.7. So it's like a reverse Teen Wolf situation, you know, where it, so instead of like going back to normal, it's like, yeah, oh, actually the superstar Teen Wolf came in at the end and they won this time.
That's hilarious.
Can you glorify like losing? Because they're going to glorify like Delhi's, you know, biggest stage was when he, you know, he was just being a pest against Golden State that first year and throwing in those like and-one gross, you know, leaners and those alley-oops and stuff. And, you know, that's about as good as it got. And they lost, you know. So are they going to glorify that, or are they going to glorify him waving towels on the bench while Kyrie dominates, you know?
I'm sure it'll be a lot about the Australian Olympics and how far they went in that and all that kind of shit.
Yeah, well, we lost again. And yeah, then, anyway.
So who plays Delhi, you reckon, in Delhi the movie? I'm thinking it's got to be present-day Michael J. Fox. So that would be like an accurate...
I feel like a David Spade could do it. Is that random? It's pretty random. I don't know
the guy's
awkward
name.
Awkward white guys.
But the guy in Westworld, a.k.a. House of Cards, who... the like that blonde dude. Fuck, I don't know his name, but...
one knows Delhi's name. This doesn't matter.
Yeah. I just looked. His name
is
Jimmy
you know
Simpson.
Who play
That's
him?
Who could play him.
If Delhi was like a little bit like more rugged up and stuff, he looks like that kind of out of Game of Thrones. He got his cock chopped off. What's that dude's name we got? Name again?
Oh, Lily Allen's brother.
Yeah, Lily Allen's brother.
What's his name in the movie? Grayjean. Theoden. No, Theo. What's his name?
Theon, yeah, it's
Theon
Lily Allen's brother.
Yeah, him.
Look
how much Rabbit gives two shits that it's Lily Allen's brother. We said it to him four times. He's like, I have no idea who Lily Allen is.
He did get famous. Like,
also on the exact opposite of the spectrum, Michael Jordan, who recently was presented with an award by the president for freedom. Ellen DeGeneres, Bruce Springsteen also won that award of freedom. And I think even Robert De Niro, Freedom Award. What's a Freedom Award? Just being free.
I don't know.
It's great. I want to win the Freedom Award. Anyways, and he did.
Braveheart Award.
Yeah, he didn't cry, which was disappointing. But he's got a new documentary out, a 10-hour Michael Jordan documentary. Basically, so Chicago Bulls fans can deal with another shitty season, I reckon. But, Bag, you were telling me this starts halfway through his career. 10-hour documentary halfway through his career.
I think if anyone's equipped to comment on long, boring documentaries, it's Chris. So I'm going to let him do it.
It starts after he comes back from baseball. Mm. And, all the ins and outs of that. And I think it'll have a bit of Washington, which... we all try to forget, but I'm sure that'll be in there. I don't know how much Space Jam is going to be in there. It's similar to the OJ epic that, you know, went for ages, and they'll probably frame it around like, you know, black culture and this changing of the guard and blah, blah, blah. So I don't think it'll all be Jordan, but there is enough ammo there for sure. It just depends how much they just want to hear him talk about himself. And they might even do a whole series on his retirement speech or the Jordan meme or the crying Jordan meme. Who knows? There'll be plenty of ammo there for sure. It just means wondering if you can bring yourself to sit through that much of a jerk-off.
The fucking OJ documentary, the first hour and a half was him like picking what size helmet to wear or something. It went for fucking
No, dude. You got to buy into that shit. They're framing the whole story and the struggle of like the white-black contrast in the early 90s and how OJ was totally accepted as being black or white. The struggle of like... young you black America versus like the white picture perfect kind of and all based around the NFL, which is super racist in itself. So anyway, I can talk about that doc for ages as well.
There's robots and shit in it, I'll be keen.
Yeah, totally.
It's robots.
If the robots fight monsters, then it's even better. Speaking of Jordan, and you said Space Jam, can you believe it's been 20 years since Space Jam came out? Well, I couldn't, so I had to Google it to make sure. And it came out in 1996. And I tell you, I was like looking at Hoyt's coming up thinking, oh, what movie can I watch? And there's just nothing. And I looked at some of the movies that came out in 1996, and what a year, guys. And this doesn't include movies such as Eraser with Arnold Schwarzenegger, because I just thought it was too shit. But I just wanted to name off a couple movies that came out in 1996, just so we can reflect on how shit cinema and movies are now. All right, so I'm just going to name a couple of movies. You guys ready for this? 1996.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Space Jam was
out. I feel
out.
Like it was a monster.
Bill Murray was in that Space Jam. We had Independence Day. Remember that?
Bonus.
Twister. That was fucking huge.
I like Twister.
Love Twister. Jerry Maguire. Show me the money.
All time, yeah.
What about Mel Gibson's Ransom? Anyone seen that?
Give me back my son.
Show me the money.
The money.
What about
you motherfucker?
I'll say a movie line. You tell me what it's from. You're bashed. Losers do their best. Winners go home and fuck the prom queen.
Is that a Sean Connery reference?
That is from The Rock. Come on.
Oh, The Rock. Yep. Okay. Nice.
Scream.
The young Nicolas Cage.
Scream. That was pretty big. Yep. And then, you know, we got like 7 Star Wars movies and about 150 rehash Avengers movies. Our biggest rehash movie in 1996 was Beavis and Butthead Do America, from TV
also
to
a great movie.
Yeah. And then one of the darkest comedies ever, Cable Guy.
Yeah, it was dark.
And
was very dark.
Primal Fear, Ed Norton. Happy Gilmore, Dust Till Dawn, fucking Kingpin. And then let's get a little bit dark with The People versus Larry Flint, Train Spotting. Goddamn 96. Goddamn.
And you're leaving out D3, one of the top 3 Mighty Ducks movies ever made. And as well as the most perfectly timed movie release for a 14-year-old ever, Striptease.
Oh yeah. Forgot about
Striptease
that.
Striptease was off tap. Yeah.
Can't tell me you didn't get some mileage out of that shit.
All right, well, that's about it for this week's podcast. We'll be back next week. If you're listening to this, please subscribe. We love subscriptions, and thanks again.